Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Y'all actually say it back here. That's lovely. If you want to open up to Genesis chapter 1, that's where we will get started this morning. Genesis chapter 1. And once you find Genesis chapter 1, please open up to 1 Peter chapter 3. We will be there soon after. So Genesis chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 3. Glad you all are able to make it out this morning. It's always an encouraging thing when God's people can be together and worship and study His Word. I understand we have several guests who are visiting today. We really appreciate your presence. Thank you for coming out and being a part of the Courthouse Church of Christ worship period today. Genesis chapter 1. I love water. Growing up, I used to love to play in the water. Me and my friends would spend all summer out on the lake, swimming, jet skiing, tubing, fishing, just doing all sorts of water activities. I love to play in water, and I love to drink water. Water is my favorite beverage. It's literally the only thing that I drink. It is God's beverage. It's the best thing that I ever consume. I love to play in water. I love to drink water. And water keeps me alive. Without water, we will all perish. The human body is made up of about 60 to 70% of water. Without water, we will all die. And so I love to play in water. I love to drink water. Water keeps me alive. Water is good. Water has been good to me. Water has been good to many of you. And we see from the very beginning of time, water was good to God. In Genesis chapter 1, the Lord has created day and night. The first day has passed. It is now the second day. God has created this expanse that separates heaven from earth. And the text says in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse number 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God said," verse 6, "let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning and the second day." Verse 9. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 9. "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good." Here, from the very beginning of time, we see that water was good to God. And all throughout Scripture, we see time and time and time again how God uses water for the good of His people. Water was good to me. Water has been good to you. Water was good to God. And we see in Genesis chapter 6 how water was good to the man Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, the wickedness of man is great upon the earth. The Spirit of the Lord could no longer strive with man. And so God was so upset, He was so furious with His people that He was set to destroy His people. However, there was a man by the name of Noah who stood out. There was a man by the name of Noah who found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and God called upon Noah. He said, "Noah, if you want to live, if you want your family to survive, then do as I tell you." And so God gave Noah very specific instructions. Very specific instructions on how to build an ark. And this ark would save he and his family's life. How? Through water. In 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, as the Apostle Peter is speaking of baptism, he likens baptism to the days of Noah. And he says in the middle portion of verse number 20, "In the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight people, were brought to safety," how? "Through water." Again, all throughout Scripture, we see how God, time and time and time again, uses water for the good of his people. Water was good to God in Genesis chapter 1. Water was good to Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and in Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, we see how water was good to the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And the Egyptians are pursuing God's people in an intense way. God's people are so upset, they're so terrified, they're saying, "Moses, Moses, it would have been better for us to remain slaves in Egypt than to die in this wilderness." Moses tells the people, "Do not fear, wait on the salvation of the Lord." Verse 13, the text says that Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see them again." And so the question that we must consider together today is, how would God save the children of Israel? Moses says, "See the salvation of the Lord." What would that look like? It would look like God using water to deliver his people. In Exodus chapter 14, as the children of Israel are fast approaching the Red Sea, the text says in verse number 21 that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of a cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots and upon the horsemen." So, verse 27, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all of the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 30, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore." The question that we are considering this morning is, how did God save the Egyptians? Here in Exodus chapter 14, we clearly see that it was water. It was water that God used for the good of his people. Water has been good to me. Water has been good to you. Genesis chapter 1, we see that water was good to God. In Genesis chapter 6, water was good to Noah. Here in Exodus chapter 14, water was good to the children of Israel. And we see in 2 Kings chapter 5 how water was good to the man Naaman. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we are introduced to a Syrian official by the name of Naaman. He was an incredibly well-respected Syrian official. However, Naaman had a problem. He had a horrible, awful problem. He had painful boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And so, in an effort to find some help, in an effort to find some relief from this leprosy, Naaman reaches out to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria says, "There's a man by the name of Elisha. There's a man by the name of Elisha who may be able to help you." And so Naaman goes to Elisha and he says, "Elisha, I want to be made well. I want to be cured of my leprosy." Elisha says, "Okay, if you want to be made well, if you want to be cured of your leprosy, then you must dip. You must dip seven times in the Jordan River. You must dip seven times in water if you want to be made well." Naaman didn't like this. He said, are there more cleaner bodies of water that I could dip in? Couldn't you just wave your hand over me and I'll be made well?" No. Elisha says, "Absolutely not. If you want to be made well, if you want to be made whole, if you want to be restored, then you must go down into the Jordan River." And so the text says in 2 Kings chapter 5, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we'll start in verse number 11. After Naaman was told that he must dip seven times in the Jordan River, he was angry. And he went away saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abna and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all of the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleaned?" So he returned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? He has actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean.'" So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. How fascinating is this? Again, we see another example of how God used water for the good of his people. Water has been good to me. Water has been good to you. Genesis chapter 1, we see water was good to God. Genesis chapter 6, water was good to Noah and his family. Exodus chapter 14, water was good to the children of Israel. Here in 2 Kings chapter 5, water was good to Naaman. All throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of his people. Like Naaman, all of us have a problem. Our problem is sin. Like the children of Israel, all of us have an enemy. Our enemy is Satan. Like Noah, God has provided a means by which we may have salvation, and that is by him through water. All throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of his people. He used water for the good of his people during the Old Testament. He uses water for the good of his people during the New Testament. And he uses water for the good of his people today. In John chapter 19, as Jesus is hanging between the twilights of two worlds, about to pour out his blood for the sins of the world, John records in verse number 34 that blood and water flowed from his side. When those Roman soldiers came and pierced his side, blood and water flowed forth. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, John continues to make the point that Jesus came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. Water and blood. These are two essential elements to our salvation. The water that washes away our sins and the blood by which we may have access to the soul cleansing blood of Jesus. The blood by which we have cleansing power and the water by which we reach the blood. And so the question is, how do we reach the blood of Christ? How do we have access to this blood? We reach the blood of Christ through baptism. And Romans chapter 6 tells us exactly how that happens. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is contending with these Roman Christians who believe that just because God is so gracious, just because he is so merciful, and just because he is so kind, they can live their lives however they want to and take advantage of the grace of God. And Paul says, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we've established the fact that the blood of Jesus cleanses our sins. The water is the means by which we access the blood of Christ. Here in Romans chapter 6, we see that we access the blood of Christ by going down in the watery grave of baptism. When we are baptized, we are connected with the blood of Jesus. You cannot reach the blood, you cannot reach the cross, you cannot reach the death, you cannot have salvation without going through that water. You cannot have salvation without being baptized for the remission of your sins. And so we see this word baptism written here in Romans chapter 6. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, what is baptism? What does that word mean? The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to be fully submersed or submerged into something. It means to be fully immersed or submerged into water. How do you know that, Tim? Acts chapter 8 makes it very clear. Acts chapter 8 makes the point that baptism is full immersion in water. In Acts chapter 8, there was a man by the name of Philip who was called on by the Spirit of the Lord to go down south, and he would see a man, an Ethiopian man, who was reading scripture. And so Philip obeys the Lord and he goes down south and he sees this Ethiopian man reading scripture. He's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And he asks the Ethiopian eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian responds, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And so the text tells us that beginning with that passage of scripture, Philip preached the good news about Jesus. And so we'll pick up in verse number 34. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 34, the text says that the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Verse 36, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" So an important point that we can take away from Acts chapter 8 is when Philip preached the good news about Jesus, he preached water baptism. Philip talked to the eunuch about Jesus when they were passing along the water. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" The point is, you cannot preach the message of Christ. You cannot preach the whole counsel of God without preaching water baptism. And you cannot preach the whole counsel of God without preaching full submersion in water baptism. And we see that as this story continues. In Acts chapter 8, In verse 36, the text says, "And they were going along the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" Verse 37, "And Philip said, 'If you believe with all of your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." Here we see when Philip baptized this Ethiopian eunuch, both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and they came up out of the water. You cannot go down into and come up out of having water sprinkled on you. You cannot go down into and come up out of having water poured on you. You go down into and you come up out of full immersion in water baptism. You cannot reach the death, you cannot reach the cross, you cannot have salvation without going through the water. We've established the fact that all throughout Scripture, we see how time and time and time again, God uses water for the good of His people. Here in Acts chapter 8, we see how water was good to the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip preached the message of water baptism. But not only did Philip preach this message, this is a message that Jesus Christ himself taught. Open up to Mark chapter 16. Turn to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16, and we will see how Jesus Christ himself preached water baptism. You cannot have salvation without going through the water. We'll start in verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. "And Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.'" Verse 16. "Whoever believes is saved and is then baptized." Is that what Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says in your Bible? "Whoever believes is saved and is then baptized." Absolutely not. That is not what anyone's Bible says, and that is not what Jesus said. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Sadly, we're living in a world that believes quite the opposite. We're sadly living in a world full of people who feel as though all they have to do is believe and they will be okay. All they have to do is accept Jesus as their personal Savior and they will be okay. All they have to do is quote some sinner's prayer and they will be okay. But that's not what Jesus preached. Here in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus preached that there is water in the plant. Here in Mark chapter 16, Jesus preached that water is good for the people of God. Christ preached that you cannot reach his blood, you cannot reach the cross, you cannot reach his death, you cannot have salvation without going through the water. Jesus preached, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." But not only did Christ preach this message, Jesus' apostles preached this message. Jesus' apostles preached the fact that there is water in the plant. In Acts chapter 2, as the Apostle Peter powerfully proclaims prophecy in a packed place, you have all of these Jews from all over the world who are gathered together in this one place. And Peter tells this crowd that they are the ones who are responsible for crucifying Jesus. And when the crowd hears this message, the text tells us that they are pricked to the heart and they cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? How shall we get ourselves out of this horrible, awful mess?" Peter responds to them in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, "Repent and be baptized." "What shall we do?" they cry out. Peter says, "Repent of your sins and go through the water. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And the text goes on to say in verse number 41, so those who received his word were baptized. Those who received his word went down into the water. Those who received Peter's word were connected to the cross. Those who received Peter's word were connected to the blood of Christ that cleanses us from our sins. And the passage goes on to say there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They were added to what? They were added to the church. They were added to the family of God. You are not a part of the church. You are not a part of the family of God. You do not have salvation unless you go down into the water. All throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of his people. Water is a good thing. Water was good to God. In Genesis chapter 1, water was good to Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, water was good to the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 14, water was good to Naaman. In 2 Kings chapter 5, water has been good, used all throughout Scripture for the good of God's people. And so we see here in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2 that water was good to these 3,000 souls who were saved on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ himself preached that water was in the plan. Jesus' apostles preached the message that water is in the plan. And Jesus' regular old disciples taught this message too. Jesus' regular old disciples taught the message that there is water in the plan. In Acts chapter 9, we read of a disciple of Jesus by the name of Ananias. Ananias was called upon by the Lord to preach the gospel to a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded by this light from heaven. And he heard a voice crying out, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul responded, who are you, Lord? And the voice responded, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. I want you to rise and enter into the city, and I will tell you what you must do. There are some things that you must do in order to have salvation. There are some things that you must do in order to get yourself in a right relationship with the Lord. And so the text says in verse number 8 that Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And get this, verse 9, for three days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus, his regular old disciple, named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. Pay attention to this, for behold, he is praying. The Lord tells Ananias there's a man by the name of Saul who is praying. We learn that Saul, for 3 days, was fasting. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, and he was praying. He was praying to the Lord. Lord, I'm blind. Lord, help me, Lord. He was calling upon the name of the Lord, but he still wasn't a saved man. I'm sure he was praying fervently, but he still wasn't a saved man. The point that I'm trying to make is we cannot pray our way into heaven. There's absolutely no such thing as a sinner's prayer. Saul was praying for 3 whole days, but he was still not a saved man. Saul was not a saved man until he went down into that water. God said, I want you to meet a man by the name of Ananias who's going to tell you what you must do. Ananias is going to tell you what you must do to get your life right with the Lord. And so the text says that Ananias, verse 17, departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. Why did he call him a brother? Was Saul already saved? No, he was a Jewish brother. Brother Saul. Jewish brother Saul. The Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and what happened? He was baptized. In taking food, he was strengthened. Saul was not a saved man until he went down into the water. I love how Acts chapter 22 describes this scene. Saul, who is now in Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul describes his conversion. In Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16, he says that Ananias said to him, Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized." And I love the next statement. "And wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." When Saul was baptized, his sins were washed away. His sins were not washed away when he was praying to the Lord. His sins were not washed away until he went down into that water. His sins were not washed away until he was connected to the blood of Jesus. His sins were not washed away until he went down into that water, was connected to the cross, was connected to the death, connected to the burial, connected to the blood of Christ. That is when he found salvation. There's water in the plan. All throughout Scripture, God has used water for the good of His people. This is a message that Jesus preached. This is a message that Jesus' apostles preached. This is a message that Jesus' regular old disciples preached. And this is a message. This is a message that we must share with our world today. Sadly, we're living in a world full of people who believe lies. We're living in a world full of people who believe things that are not recorded in Scripture. We're living in a world full of people who have been deceived into thinking that they are in a right relationship with the Lord when they are absolutely not. And this message of salvation that we find in Scripture may seem quite strange, and it may seem quite unusual. But I will tell you, I'm sure, I'm absolutely certain that it was quite strange and unusual for Noah to hear from God, "Noah, if you want to be saved and if you want your family to have salvation, then I want you to build this ark because I'm going to flood the earth." Prior to that time, the people likely had not even seen rain before, and God's talking about flooding the earth and He's telling you to build an ark when you're an old man. That's crazy. That's strange. That's unusual. But Noah didn't hesitate. Noah didn't ask a whole lot of questions. Noah didn't choose not to obey the Lord. Noah obeyed the Lord, and because he obeyed the Lord in spite of God's strange and unusual message, he and his family were saved. I'm sure it was very strange and it was very unusual for Naaman to hear from Elisha that if you wanna be restored, if you want your leprosy to go away, then you must dip 7 times into the Jordan River. That was a weird message. Naaman didn't want to do it. We read in 2 Kings chapter 5 how he didn't want to do it. But once he did do it, his flesh was restored like that of a little child. It was strange and unusual for the children of Israel to hear from Moses, "If y'all want to have salvation, if you want to beat the Egyptians, you have to walk through this body of water." I'm sure they were terrified to hear that message. I'm sure Moses was terrified to hear that from God. But again, they didn't hesitate. They didn't ask a whole lot of questions. They obeyed the Lord. And because they obeyed the Lord, they were saved. It's strange. It's unusual for us to hear that we have to dip in a pool of water and come up out of that pool of water to have our sins washed away. But as they said in 2 Kings chapter 5, if God had asked us to do some great thing, wouldn't we have done it? That's not a great thing. It's simple. You go down into the water and you come up out of the water and you'll have salvation. You go down into that water, you're connected with the blood of Jesus, and you come up out of that water and you're a child of God. It's a very simple thing to do. It seems like we always want to do big, phenomenal things. No, God has not asked us to do something major. He has not asked us to do something grand. He has asked us to do something very simple because He has done all of the work. He has done all of the work when He sent His Son, Jesus, to this earth to suffer, to die, and to rise so that we could have eternal life. All we must do is simply accept that gift. We accept that gift by going down into the water. If you have not gone down into the water, I'm sorry to tell you that you are not in a right relationship with the Lord. If you are of an accountable age and you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you understand that He died for your sins, you understand that He rose from the grave with all power in His hand, and you understand that the only way that you can have salvation is by being connected to His blood, and if you understand that you're connected to His blood by going through the water, if you understand that, then why tarriest thou? Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. I recognize that this is the Bible class hour, and generally there's not an invitation during the Bible class hour, but I think it would be foolish not to offer an invitation after a lesson on baptism. So if there's anyone here this morning who is not in a right relationship with the Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has not been baptized for the remission of your sins, I strongly encourage you to let someone know today, before this Bible class period is over, or before we start worship services, or after worship service, or at some point, please let someone know. Thank you so much for your attention. We'll close with a word of prayer, and we'll continue with our services. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this beautiful morning you blessed us with. We're so thankful for all of the wonderful things that you have done for us from the very beginning of time. We're so thankful for the plan that you have established by which we may have salvation. We're so thankful that it is a simple plan, because you have done all of the work by sending your Son to this earth to die so that we would have eternal life. Lord, we pray that if there is anyone here this morning who has not accepted your wonderful gift, that they would be touched and that they would realize that in order to be in a right relationship with you, they must be connected to your Son's blood through water. Lord, we're so thankful again for that wonderful gift, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.